Welcome back to another episode of Inside Rock. This week, we're talking about hidden messages in rock.
Hidden messages.
Yeah, it's also, well, it's also known as backmasking.
Or subliminal messaging.
Yeah. Now, some of them are done intentionally and some of them are unintentional, they claim.
And I think a lot of them are just by coincidence, or people are looking for these sentences in there, playing it backwards, and they...
I don't know.
I don't know, dude, if that's the case.
I mean, we just tried to do... We tried to do a couple on our own here before the show. Let's just try to create a backwards message. It's almost impossible.
It sounded like Klingon.
It did. It sounded like Klingon language from Star Trek.
Well, some, like you said, some are intentional.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, no, we didn't do that.
Which is even weirder.
And it's pretty clear, some of them, ones that said they didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I remember, I was younger than you, obviously, and your turntable, you'd go to work and I'd hear about this stuff, so I'd get your albums out. And I'd stop the turntable and then start going backwards. I'm thinking, I don't think this would be good for the turntable.
Or the needle.
Turntable, needle, the record, you name it. Mm. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking for messages in every single album you had, so I probably did it about 400 times.
What a bastard. Honestly.
That's not cool.
No. Well, there's a lot of famous ones out there, but one of the ones that's probably... clearest and is most well known is the one by Queen, 1980. Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah. It's that one. That's probably the second or third one I tested on my own. And it's pretty clear what he says. And the message, it's when he says, "Another one bites the dust." If you play that backwards, you hear.
It's fun to smoke marijuana.
To smoke, yeah.
Yeah, but we did it here and it sounded nothing like it.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that one, did we?
No, we did. We tried to say.
Oh, yeah, right. We did.
We tried to. We tried to say it's fun to smoke marijuana, play it backwards.
And see if it sounded
like. It didn't
like
sound.
Nothing like
no.
it.
Okay, so we've got a quick clip of that. So let's play it and let people listen to it for themselves. Here it is.
No one. So to me, that sounds pretty clear. I don't know. Chai, you said it's a stretch.
It's a stretch. That's why I wanted to try a few phrases just to see if you could, so if it sounds like something, you could create your own, but we weren't even close.
Well, help me out.
What are you trying to say?
Evangelists.
Evangelists.
Christian groups were convinced that Freddie, I couldn't say the fucking thing, were convinced that Freddie Mercury was saying that. Yeah. Mm. Now, the fact, here's what I want to know. Who's the one that played it backwards? Because you may remember, this is before digital, right? They didn't have the ability just to take a digital file and play it backwards. They had to do it from a record and spin it backwards. Well, who the hell would do that? Like what? Looking for something? They played every track backwards to find a message?
They had a lot of time on their hands.
Album 4,235. Aha! Here's one! Exactly. It sounds like this. Anyway, I don't know. I like that one. I think a lot of people probably have heard about this one.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So backwards masking, where did it start? Like, why?
Somebody with a lot of time on their hands.
Well, I mean, it does have roots in Satanism.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
But even farther back than that, there's subliminal messaging and advertising and all those different things. And then the rock groups. Actually,
it was the Beatles.
Well, the Beatles, yeah. Paul is Dead.
Well, no, but they did it intentionally on their Revolver album. They did backward vocals and backward instrumentation. For effect, they did it. So that's where it gained popularity in music. And then it went from there.
Yeah, and some of these guys who were accused of backwards messaging were actually very interested in satanic worship, which gave it, again, a whole new level of suspicion around whether it was intentional or not.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, the kids loved it, though, didn't they?
Yeah, well, some of them. Well, that gets us into the next one. Judas Priest didn't have a very good time with theirs.
No, they got taken to court, actually.
Because two kids who listened to their music all the time committed suicide.
Yeah.
Well,
really? That was a bummer, too, because Priest was really big at the time, too. It was after the Screaming for Vengeance album. I think it was the album after that. But come on. As if they're going to do that. What were you saying? You said to me earlier, if you're going to put a message in there, how about buy our albums?
Yeah, that's what he said when he was on the stand. He said, if we're going to put messaging in, we'd say something like, you know, buy more albums, kids.
Exactly, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, but again, remember, they were being accused of something, so they're going to deny everything at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy more albums and cut my lawn.
Come on. That would be a good message.
There you go.
But anyway, so they were acquitted of that, by the way. They were cleared of any wrongdoing.
Just to be clear. What was the song? It was Better By You, Better By Me. And some of the messages in there were like, do it, do it. And they said, well, even if it was in there, do it. It doesn't mean kill yourself.
Yeah, I know.
But I know. Anyway, they were acquitted. And anyway, it's roots in Satanism. That's what, you know, all this hubbub is about.
Jeez. Like, well, what do you say? What do you think he said? So then you off yourself based on a backwards message?
These kids had problems to begin with.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, we're not going to play that one.
No, I don't think so. No.
Why not?
Nah. Oh. You want to play that one?
Why not? I'd like to hear it.
Okay. Here it is.
Okay, yeah.
I heard it.
Clear as day.
Whatever.
Listen, the fact that these two guys were smoking pot and drinking beer and then listening to Judas Priest... You'd have to be stoned and drunk to try to hear anything in that.
You picture one guy. No, he just told us to off ourselves. No, dude, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to go mow his lawn, man. No, we're supposed to off ourselves. All right.
Hey, come on, man. There's no way. There's no way. And if you're going to do it, sorry. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put a message in there, make it a little bloody clearer. Man, there's no way there's a message in that. No way.
It was pretty garbled.
No guff.
No guff.
Well, yeah. They were acquitted, so there we go.
Yeah, well, no guff again. All right, so there's another one. Well, you wanted to talk about the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles, there's a whole story on Hotel California. So, you know, Hotel California... the actual building, the hotel there, it's an actual place. But before the Eagles used it for their album, it was the headquarters for the Church of Satan of California. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I don't know if we did. We talk about this?
We did.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, it's got some roots, let's just say, and some history there. With Satan worshipers. So the fact that there's a backwards message in Hotel California doesn't surprise me. So or at least someone found one anyway.
Well, what's the message?
It says, yes, Satan organized his own religion and other messages from the devil.
Do we have that?
Yeah.
To play?
Yeah. I just happen to have that.
That's pretty elaborate message.
Yeah. Well, let's see what it says.
Okay, if you can decipher that.
I'm pretty sure I heard, Dear Satan, you had us believe in you.
Near the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, it's still, again, it's a stretch, man.
Oh, yeah. You got to be stoned.
Yeah.
It helps. It helps. Yeah. You know, some songs, look at Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono did a
Do we
solo.
Have to?
No, when she sings, it actually sounds like it's backwards.
Well, yeah, no kidding, right?
Boom.
But she did a song called Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And Kiss Backwards.
My favorite, though.
Don't worry.
Don't worry, Kayoko.
Right. But Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. So Kiss Backwards is sick. But if you play it in reverse, it sounds like 666. Ooh, yeah, she bitch. Got, yeah, so they thought that was a big message, but I think that's just a coincidence, that one, right? Mm. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Why would she do it three times?
Yeah.
And then there's 666.
Yeah. Well, let's try it. They're in cahoots.
Let's say kiss, kiss, kiss.
And then reverse it?
And then reverse it.
Okay, you all right?
All right, let's all do right, it.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to do it and then play it backwards.
And then the blood comes out of your eyes. I'm leaving.
All right. Okay, here it goes.
Six, six, six. Now, there you go.
Yeah, that was pretty authentic.
It
right?
was. It was good. That was Cha saying kiss, 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 and then we played it backwards.
Yes, yeah, so on Queek's direction. It's about fanatics.
That's it. Well, it actually worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
All right. There's that. So Yoko singing Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. Who knows what her intentions were?
Who knows what her intentions ever are?
Don't worry, Kayoko.
Don't worry.
Okay. We got another one?
There's all kinds of them.
All right.
How about Gonna Raise Hell by Cheap Trick from 1979? Right?
Why, what do they say?
Well, it says,
backwards. What
backwards,
does it say?
They claim it says, you know, Satan holds the keys to the lock.
Oh. What's all this Satan crap?
I'm telling
you. Well, a lot of it is based in that. And some of the theories, people saying that Satan is, you know, taking control of these music lyrics, even though people, you know, aren't intending to do it. Satan's in the background using their music to reach out and, you know, communicate with all these people.
Yeah, whatever. It's a load of crap.
All right, make
up your own decision. Do you want to play that one by Cheap Trick?
I think we should be sampling all the ones we speak of. So, yes.
That's a good tune, by the way. It's like a 9-minute epic song by Cheap Trick.
Well, we're not playing all 9 minutes. Yeah, okay. We'll just play the one section.
All right. So the one that, to me, is really clear and one that's denied by Jeff Lynne is ELO's El Dorado. And that came out in 1974. And the title track is said to contain a very specific message. And here's what they claim it says. It says, he is the nasty one. Christ, you're infernal. It is said we're dead men. Everyone who has the mark will live.
Now, yikes.
That's a long message, right?
No kidding.
So we just happen to have the clip, don't we?
We do. All right. Here it is. Listen for yourself.
Wow, that's pretty clear, man.
Yeah, it's creepy.
That's one of the clearest ones we've heard so far, anyway.
I feel like I need to take a shower.
What'd you just drop there, Oat?
My glasses.
That's all right. We'll wait. That's all good. So listen, the songwriter and lead vocalist, Jeff Lynne, he didn't take too kindly to the devil-worshipping claims, and he called it scullab. And if you play that backwards, it's bullocks.
There you go.
So he intentionally, after that, did some backwards messaging on his next couple albums. One was off of Face the Music, Fire on High. Do you remember Fire on High?
Yep.
Fire on High. You know what? They used that song in, remember Wide World of Sports?
Yeah.
The agony of defeat.
Yeah.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
That's where the skier goes through the ski fence. Yeah.
So that Fire on High is the song that they're playing over that anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for those in our group that remember Wide World of Sports. But anyway, so he did a message at the beginning of Fire on High.
Intentionally.
And the music, he says, the message says, the music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back, turn back, turn back, turn back. So that was his message.
Yeah, and that was intentional, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That one was pretty, that's a long message and a clear message. Now, mind you, you're told to listen for that. So, I don't know.
Well, and it's very suggestive. I mean, whatever you're told to listen to and hear.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, I mean, we hear different things. Cha heard different things than we did only because he had his mindset on it. We had our mindset on ours, and that's what we heard.
Well, there's another explanation, but... anyway.
Yeah. All right. We got a few more?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting this. I know some people are waiting to hear the ones that they grew up with, really.
Well, let's go to the one that's probably the most famous.
Well. Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Hey, Cha, do you agree?
I agree.
There you go. Cha agrees.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, well, first of all, Page was known to be fascinated with the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and whether he was actually a devil worshiper or not, it remains to be seen, but he was definitely fascinated with Satanism. So that even gave more suspicion around whether it was done intentionally, or, and if it wasn't, was there an influence by Satan in some of their music? But Stairway to Heaven is the one that everybody has heard about. So what are some of the messages in there?
He says, "My sweet Satan, 666.
Yep.
So the message in reverse, it says, "Oh, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad. Whose power is Satan. He'll give those with him 666. There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer. Sad Satan."
Yikes.
Goosebumps, right?
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Now, it's funny. All I heard was 666. You got a whole
forward. Set. The lyrics for, if you want to hear what they are forward, I think everybody knows the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven, but this is the verse. "If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on." So that backwards was the other message. So you want to listen to it, see what we get out of it?
Okay, here's the backwards version. Well, and we mentioned that Jimmy Page was fascinated with the occult.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I did. And a bit of the background is that he admits that he was fascinated with the Golden Dawn, which was really a secret society that was involved with the occult. And he said he did a lot of research and was fascinated by some of the individuals that were in it. So he didn't come right up.
He said that in an interview. We just watched that.
Yeah, so he didn't say, "I'm not." He just said, "Yeah, I was involved in researching, and some of the people were fascinating." He didn't admit to being a Satanist, but he definitely admitted to doing research and, you know, researching people who were in the Golden Dawn at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy stuff.
I'd say so.
You know, but... you know, back then, I mean, how can that fascination not have influenced his music?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Well, I know, for sure.
You know, there must have been some kind of influence there.
Well, what about Robert Plant? What was his interest? That's what I wonder. Because remember, you know, you're in a band and you got to share the same kind of, well, you should, if you're going to collaborate and write music, because they both wrote the music together.
Yeah.
So, Who influenced more? Who influenced who? Now, people close to the band back in the in their heyday and in their early years, so they had nothing to do with anything with Satan and the occult. But
who, the band?
The band didn't have. Yeah, some people close to the band said that.
Okay, well, Page admitted that he did.
No, he said, well, the band as a whole, maybe Jimmy Page was fascinated with the Golden Dawn, but right. Robert Plant certainly didn't have any interest in anything like that. And he said, it's a total coincidence. He says, who would have the time for that? Who'd even think about doing that, especially back then? You know, I mean, it's just too complicated.
But you find a band that has huge influence over the young population. You have a song called Stairway to Heaven. And
I know
people say that, you know, well, maybe they didn't, you know, mean to do it, but Satan was in the background controlling it.
There you go.
Even though they didn't know it was happening. I mean, that's one of the theories. I mean, it's kind of spooky.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no question about it. It's definitely weird.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, when you're listening for it, when someone tells you this is what it says,
then you hear it.
Your brain is a funny thing, right? It's gonna tell you to hear that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right. Well, good old Led Zeppelin. That's probably one of the most famous backward masking examples out there.
Yeah, I think so. There's so many. Because now there's I mean, you could go and find, you know, hundreds of them now. Because bands are doing it intentionally now. And now it's a joke, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So we got a couple more.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't think there's any end to them. The one by Soundgarden is pretty wacky, from 1988. The name is 665 is the name of the song.
But they fell one short?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Chris Cornell actually was the lead singer of Soundgarden. Remember Chris Cornell? Poor Chris Cornell. All right, rip. But yeah, listen, here's the backwards message in 665. It says, Santa, I love you, baby, my Christmas king. Santa, you're my king. I love you, Santa baby. Got what I need.
Now, isn't it a bit of a coincidence?
That's sweet.
That a guy who's dressed in red, you switch two letters around and it spells Satan.
Santa, Satan, red,
Oh my gosh. Hey? Who cares? As long as he brings me the goods. Right?
He's bringing you goods there, right?
All right, do we want to listen to the Soundgarden one?
Yeah, you have that?
I do.
Of course you do. What are we thinking?
Here it is.
Makes it sound like Santa's a drug dealer.
I know. You got what I need.
Yeah, man.
I think I found my new Christmas song.
There you go.
Yeah, that gets messed up.
There you go.
That was pretty well done. Like, pretty clear.
I know.
Yeah, it is clear.
I know. Wow.
Okay.
All right. Well,
will you walk me to my car tonight? This is actually spookier than when we went into Screaming Tunnels, man.
Yeah, I know.
Screaming Tunnels. I'm still having nightmares about that scream.
Nobody believes about the scream.
I know.
The screams.
Who was it me? The screams.
Ja, that's on our weird and wacky podcast.
Well, go check that
it's
out.
A Halloween episode screaming called The Screaming Tunnel.
Screaming Tunnel.
Yeah, there's only one.
I know. I know. There's an echo.
I love correcting Queeks.
It's awesome. Thanks, John.
Okay, so if we have any more of these backwards?
Let's finish with the Beatles.
Ah.
Come on, White Album.
And a lot of people are saying this is what started it all in rock music.
Yeah,
it was pretty early. About the whole conspiracy theory around Paul's death. Well, saying that he was replaced with a double and they actually died in a car accident.
We should do a show on that, that whole story. Because there's a lot of information to cover on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it was their first, was it? When was Revolver? Revolver was before that, though.
Yeah, well, even on Abbey Road, Paul's walking across and he's the one without shoes
on. Well, I know, but that's all, I know. So there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
Magical
the Sergeant,
Mystery Tour.
Yeah, and the guy's holding his hand above Paul's head.
That's right.
On the album cover, signifying, you know, death.
Yeah, No, there's
John saying Paul is the walrus.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
That's right. But, So in the song Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yes.
It's in the fade out of that that you hear John seem to say, I buried Paul.
Right.
That it's very faint, but you can hear it, right? And that was what really got everybody fired up. And then they said, is Paul McCartney dead? You know, and they claimed that he got into a terrible crash in 1966, and they secretly replaced him with a lookalike.
Right.
And kept it all secret just to keep the band together, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And they said they left clues in all their albums. And
well, there's the one where Ringo saying, number nine, yeah. Number nine,
yeah.
Number nine. Backwards, that's Turn Me On Dead Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have that. We'll play both of those.
Oh, you got to play
what
that.
What the hell are they thinking?
Yeah, you
got to
play
then,
that. You know? Yeah.
Well, they were all about controversy at that time, especially John. John liked to stir things up.
Well, I mean, the White Album's loaded, apparently.
Yeah.
With all kinds of messages in there.
Yeah.
If you decipher one's a gibberish. It's kind of gibberish, but spoken by John at the end of I'm So Tired is heard as Paul is a dead man. Miss him. Miss him. Miss him. And he says it louder at the end. Come on, man.
Okay, we'll try to find something. Let's play a few of those. Okay, here's the one with Ringo saying number nine. And then we're going to play it backwards. Here it is.
So, clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
Turn Me On Dead Man.
Yeah, it is. That's what he said.
Yeah, so that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going to another one here from the Beatles.
White Album again?
Well, let's go with the Strawberry Fields one.
Okay.
And what's it supposed to say?
I buried Paul, is what it's supposed to say.
Okay, here it is. Okay, so that's the Beatles. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Beatles ones. You can go on YouTube and find a bunch of links to, you know, Beatles backwards messages on the White Album and Revolver and a bunch of other ones.
Mm-hmm. And now it's time for Inside Rock News, right, Cha?
With Gary Ganews.
I'm telling you, that guy was a superstar.
He was.
Gary Ganews.
Are you going to bring that up every time we talk about the news?
No news is good Ganews.
With Gary Ganew. Dude, whenever I hear the word news, I just gravitate towards Gary Ganew.
Guy was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Am I going to have to listen to this every
seriously,
time?
Man.
He had great hair, too.
Great hair. Oh. And he knew news.
Just for the record, he was a Muppet. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered that last time.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're covering it again.
We're going to cover it every time we bring up the news.
I know. I'm afraid that's going to happen.
I've got something in the news.
Okay.
You know Daughtry, Chris Daughtry?
I know his daughter, 25.
Okay, I won't tell him the news. No. Take it away, Queeks.
25. His daughter died. They didn't say what she died of, though.
Oh, you don't have the whole story, do you?
Go ahead, John. Take it away, Gary.
Well, they say it remains under investigation. So that's all I have to say about that.
Good. Thanks for elaborating. Yeah, that's terrible, though.
That is terrible.
And he lost, I guess he lost his mother, too, not long before that. It's been a bad time for that family. But, yeah.
Yeah, condolences to the Daughtrys.
Yeah, no kidding.
So what do you have, Queeks?
I don't have anything.
Besides my stories.
No, about Astroworld.
Yeah, there's another tragedy, two tragic stories.
Well, Travis Scott and Drake are being sued by the people who attended their concert at Astroworld. I guess the crowd was pushing toward the front, and then people started to fall, and people were getting trampled, and people got trampled to death right in the concert.
Well, I saw the video. Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's nasty.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
But anyway, that was huge in the news, and it's probably one of the most horrific concert deaths to date ever. How many people died?
I think it was eight people. Eight or nine, yeah. Is it eight? Yeah. Oh, I still think the Las Vegas shooting was the worst concert.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a little different.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. No, that was definitely horrific.
Yeah, no kidding.
But this one, it's going to be a while before they get over this. It's, you know, these concerts where they put all these people in, they just pack them in, and they're standing there shoulder to shoulder, and the crowd starts to push, and then it's over.
Yeah, that sucks. And they're and see the clip. The girl goes up on stage, and she's saying, "You got to stop. You got to stop. There's someone's dead."
She went up on stage and said, "Stop the concert."
There's
people dying. Yeah,
well, they said there's someone in the. They are dead. You're not breathing.
Yeah,
and just unbelievable.
I don't know if I have a link to that. I'll try to put that link in the show notes for that report.
Yeah, yeah. Can we lighten it up a little bit?
Yeah, lighten it up.
So, well, it's news. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I bet still. Well, here's some cool news. So we did a show on ABBA.
Right.
Not too long ago. 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yep.
Two shows ago, I should say.
Yeah.
And ABBA released their new long-anticipated album, Voyage.
Well, you got the last news we talked about, the imminent release of it,
that's right?
That's right.
Yeah. So it was just released last week, and it went to number two. It debuted at number two, the highest charting album ABBA had as a debut.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And how many years after is this?
40.
40 years after.
Yeah, so good for them.
And just to remind everybody, they've already committed, well, the women have committed and said part of the condition was just that we're not doing any live tours.
Yeah. Well, they're doing that virtual show.
In London, yeah, the specially built theater, the digital theater. That's groundbreaking. That's going to be awesome.
So they're performing all the songs from the new album, looking like they did back in the late 70s.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
That's awesome.
All right. Hey,
did you see, I guess something else, looking through the news. What kind of stupid statement is this? You know Roger Daltrey from The Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on record labeling this Rolling Stones as a mediocre pub band.
I read that.
What?
I read that. You know, and both being British, being from UK, they probably should have more respect for one another.
Well, when did he say that?
Yeah, not too long ago, actually.
No. Right? Well, this article is November 14th, 2021.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, come on.
Like, how can you call the Stones that? Like, you make yourself look like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was uncalled. Who knows what prompted that? You know, we're just hearing the quote. Who knows what prompted
that? But you know what? It's never good to tear down somebody else. I mean, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I like Daltrey and The Who. I mean, they were awesome.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But stuff like that I just don't like hearing.
Because
I like the Stones, too. The Stones are legends, man.
They're one of my favorite.
Yeah.
So, all right. But anyway, I don't know. There was a few stories there.
So that's the second week of November 2021.
Yeah.
That news from the world of rock.
I think it's only fitting that we provide our own backward message at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So here it is. Sargam
Akhtar Fodne. Nihlovo Erkner's New Sheep.
Yes, Sargam Akhtar.
Okay, so there's the Jabber Guy's message, and we'll just leave that with you to decode.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up this episode called Hidden Messages in Rock with...
Stor.
Skew.
Harsh.
Sjagerbashnith.
Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to check out the trivia and some sneak peeks to some of our other episodes. Remember also to subscribe to our podcasts, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.